Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go?
Ready to go.
And Blog Talk's on borrowed time now.
What, did you find something else?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you about it after the show, but yeah.
Nope, no problem.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. Blog Talk is working today. It's about time, and we'll be moving on Blog Talk soon enough in the coming weeks, more about that later. Let's get started. Mike Stafford, for the first time in a long time, we don't get started with a fight here. We're going to get started with Mike Stafford. Cincinnati's own Mike Stafford passed away Wednesday afternoon at the age of 67. Coach Mike was a staple when it came to boxing in Cincinnati. Stafford trained Adrian Bronner, Duke Reagan, Rasheed Warren, and that's just to name a few. Jamel Herring was one. He gave an interview in 2022 to Cincinnati Magazine. And I think this kind of sums up what Mike Stafford was about. Quote, not only do we teach boxing, but we teach manners. We teach them how to eat, what to wear. We teach them about hygiene. Stafford was named the United States Coach of the Year by USA Boxing in 2003 and 2005 for his work with amateur fighters. He was also a big part of USA Boxing's coaching staff at the 2004 Olympics in Athens, the 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing. I think it's important to remember that Coach Stafford trained boxing champions. He trained Olympians, boxers from all levels. But to me, one of the things he will always be known for is just helping the kids in the community. The kids who never turned pro or made it to the Olympics, it was the lessons in between the boxing that were important. It was the message and lessons that he gave to those kids that they carry with them today. That's what made Mike Stafford special. Mike was pretty much a staple here in Cincinnati of boxing. Everybody talks about the Cincinnati amateurs, the Ohio amateurs, the boxing, you know. Robert Easter was also one that had worked with Mike Stafford, even though he's in Toledo. Boxers would come through and work with this guy. But again, you know, we hear a handful of boxers. You hear it Bronner, you hear Rasheed, you hear like handfuls of boxers. But this guy, it wasn't just about those guys. You hear him associated with those guys. But he ran the Cincinnati Golden Gloves Gym. So he worked with tons of fighters, tons of kids, tons of young adults. And again, like you said, they taught them more lessons. When you go into whether it's a MMA, whether it's boxing, you learn boxing, you learn MMA, that's great. You go on, you know, you're good enough to go pro, wonderful. But it's the lessons you learn in the gym that kind of shape you. You know what I mean? I mean, you yourself know. You've been to gyms before. You've boxed. You know what it's like when you come out of there, and it shapes you because there's a different discipline to it. There's different things that go into it. You have to think. Everybody thinks it's just, well, we're just going to beat each other up, and that's not the case at all. You know,
builds character.
It builds character, absolutely. And the people behind it who train you also help you build your character, you know. For a lot of guys, I'm sure he was like a father figure to a lot of kids in the, you know, in that area and stuff like that. And I mean, it was just it's a shame. It's a shame to lose him, man. I remember Aaron Pryor was one that when you heard it, you were just like, wow, you know, oh my God, that's Cincinnati right there. That's Aaron Pryor, man. And when I heard Mike Stafford Wednesday, that was like, that hit you, you know, it was like, man, that's a major player, man. That's a major player on the scene here, man. And so we're going to now honor Mike Stafford with the 10 count and a moment of silence with the 10 count. Here we go. Rest in peace, Mike Stafford. Our thoughts, we offer our prayers to his friends and family and everybody that he touched. You know, that's a lot of people. So rest in peace. All right. Let's get started with this weekend's fights. There wasn't much, but there was a big name this weekend, Steve. A big name fighting this weekend, and you guys may have missed it. I know I missed it on the schedule. Mike Montero, that's right, Montero on boxing, his professional debut at heavyweight, Steve. This took place at the Rock Hill, South Carolina Sports Event Center. Mike Montero versus Zytrel Mitchell. Mike Montero, I'm happy to say, wins by first round TKO. It was a minute 45 into the first round. I didn't see the fight. I couldn't find the video anywhere. I'm sure Mike has it, and I'm sure Mike will be posting it soon. We're going to try to get Mike on the show next week, too. So that'll be great, too, to have him on there. But congratulations to Mike. Beeb, what are your thoughts on this, man?
Now all these fucking punks on Twitter that want to talk shit, right? Mike got in the ring. He's official now, baby. He's on BoxRec. I don't want to hear any of you guys popping off at the lip because Mike will take you out, daddy.
Yeah, and his opponent, I tell you what, Mike is 44. Mike is 44 years old. So I think that's a great thing. I think it's probably a bucket list thing for him. I mean, listen, it was a bucket list thing for all of us, too. I mean, when you were coming up, didn't you want to be a pro fighter? Didn't you picture yourself in there? And, you know, everybody wanted to be a pro fighter, right?
A lot of things I wanted to do, man. If I go down the list,
right, stop.
We can make a show of that.
You depress us all. What's the matter with you, Pete? So, but everybody, you know, like I said, if you follow the sport, you've always pictured yourself in there. Well, he got in there at 44. You know, I mean, at 44, that's a really advanced age for boxing. You know, for boxing, like 44, like, wow, you know, but yeah, for sure. And, yeah, man, the guy he fought was 21. How about that? He was 21. They were both in their professional pro debuts. So, man. So, Beeb, did you lose money on that fight? I heard you bet the other guy, man.
I took the under, man. I just played it safe. I took the under. Two unknowns in there making their pro debuts.
You
take
said
the under.
Two unknowns.
You gotta take,
I wonder if he was on DraftKings. I wonder if he was on DraftKings. I don't know. I don't know.
He wasn't on DraftKings.
Why? Wow. What's that? What does that mean?
I bet with a bookie, man. I had a bet with a bookie. It wasn't a line for it.
It wasn't on DraftKings. Like, he couldn't be on DraftKings and he was fighting. Why are you trying to dump on him, man? What's wrong with you?
Listen.
Do you still think that Montero was slow and clumsy? Like you did,
never.
Like you talked about. You talked about that earlier, that he
never
was slow and clumsy.
Mike.
Well, not to him. No, of course not. But I mean, like,
I would never
say
that.
He's not listening. Don't worry about it. So if you feel that way, just say it. I mean, it's like, you know.
Mike is a Greek god. You ever see that guy, man?
I have. He's amazing.
He's built. He is built like a brick shithouse, that guy.
Yeah.
I would never fuck with that guy.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of these tough guys talking shit about him on Twitter.
Oh,
I'm serious when I say this.
Yeah,
he would fold you.
He would
trust
kill
me.
You guys.
He's a
yeah.
former Marine.
Yeah.
He's a former Marine. He's 6'4", probably weighs about 215, probably the fighting weight's 210. Got to be about 10% body fat. This guy would fold you guys up like a lawn chair. I don't even
yeah,
want to hear
a,
it. Right?
He's a big guy, too. It's not like he's small. He's a big dude.
He's a big-framed guy.
He's fighting at heavyweight. Yeah, that's right, exactly. Like, your frame isn't that big. Like, you're a smaller-framed guy, whereas, like, he is, like, you know, he is a big guy. Like, you got broad shoulders and everything.
Look at the upper body. I wasn't trying to say.
It
may not be Mike Montero.
I didn't want to say you were puny compared to Mike Montero. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm about 6 feet, 1/2 inch, about 208 pounds right now, man.
Listen, we don't need your resume. It's okay. We all know. Just settle down.
I got the cortisone shot last week. I'm ready to go. I got the cortisone shot last week.
Hold on, man. You're look at that. I don't know. You guys in the chat, you think Beeb can take Montero? You guys in the chat think he can take Montero?
Because
it's funny because we're talking about Mike and now you're flexing and everything like that. It seems like you want a piece of him. I'm just saying, you know, I could probably make it happen.
Robbie versus me would be a pick'em right now in my condition.
Big Texas is in the chat. He says, take off the shirt, B. That's
never going to happen.
Notorious says, B would outbox Montero.
No way.
Yeah. No way. Look at that. B would outbox Montero.
I would not last a round with that man.
They said it would be the fight of the century, Beeb. How about that? Wow.
54 years old, for Christ's sakes.
Well, I'm just, well, he's 44. I mean, that's only 10 years. I mean.
Oh, only. Guy's a Marine, man. I was in the Army. It's a different ballgame.
You both know how to handle guns.
You don't call them guns. You have to call them rifles, please.
Well,
so let my
pistols are rifles. Pistols are rifles, right? Pistols are rifles.
Officers have pistols. We were grunts. We were in the field. We were.
They didn't give you a nine. They didn't give you a nine or anything.
No.
Why? You just had rifles.
They have what's called the M. I think it's the M4 now.
Uh-huh.
Back when I was in the Army, they still used M16. That's how long ago it was.
They had muskets back when you were in there today. Did you have to, like, load the shots, like, with each one? Like, after you fired it, you had that little thing that you had to, like, load the gunpowder and everything?
Yeah, we had magazines.
Yeah, magazines? Okay.
Let's not get carried away here, please.
Notorious says, Montero tries to finish quick. Beeb would weather the storm and outbox him. Wow.
I'd be caught up in the storm, but trust me, I wouldn't weather it.
Wow. Man. B, talking all kind of crazy stuff about Montero tonight, man. Wow. So you really think you could beat him, though?
No.
I love how, like, there's two different Beebs, guys. You guys got to know this about B. There's two different Joe Habibs. There's two
Zero
different Joe Habibs. There's a Joe Habib before he comes on the show, and then there's a Joe Habib on the show, okay? Joe Habib, before he came on this show today, was talking crazy amounts of garbage about Mike Montero. That's unbelievable. But now you come on here and you're, but I get it. I get it. Don't worry.
Totally false.
Totally false.
Not a shred of.
Oh man. So, but anyway, man, listen, I'm proud of Mike Montero, man. Good stuff. And we're going to try to get him on next week. And Beeb is going to apologize right to his face, so that'll be great. So we'll make that happen. That was pretty much the only fight this weekend, the only fight worth talking about, I guess. So
what about the big UFC upset?
Sean Strickland. Okay. So
did
yeah.
you see that? I didn't see it, actually.
It was – yeah, I did, and it was crazy, man. If you would have told me – okay, so let me tell you how this was going. DraftKings had Adesanya as a -675 favorite. They changed. They did like some little boost or whatever where you can put $10 was the max, but they would make him a +100, right? So I was going to put like $5,800 on it, right? But you couldn't. It was maxed out at like $10. So I said, all right, I'll do 10. Lost the 10, obviously. But let me tell you what. He was that much of an underdog. Went into Australia. Went down to Australia. Izzy's home place right there. He's fighting in the home country. Got wrecked. I mean, he got completely wrecked. He was almost out in the first round. I mean, Strickland caught him with a right hand. He did the dance. He was all over the place, man. I thought he was going to put him out there. But overall, as I'm watching that first round, even before he caught him at the end, I'm watching this. I'm like, you know, Strickland's going to win this round just because he's busier. Adesanya looked just lethargic in there. He wasn't throwing anything. He wasn't like, he was just getting hit, you know. He would throw a few things, and I mean, you know, listen, man, Sean Strickland is ready for that stuff. I mean, you may think he's a buffoon and everything like that from the way he talks at press conferences and stuff. That guy can fight. I mean, that guy, he's a world-class fighter. You can't sleep on that dude, especially in front of your home country like that. You know that's going to be like his Super Bowl. He was so pumped up at, like, the weigh-ins, and he was pumped up at the press conferences. I would have never picked him to win. But, you know, I mean, good for him, man. He did awesome in there. Yeah, he did. He had a Strickland had an MMA Philly shell type of defense. Yeah. Is Izzy Australian? Tony Ayo says, is he Australian? Thought he was African. I think he bounces. Me and my son were talking about this earlier. He, like, bounces back and forth. You know, he'll say he's Australian, then he'll say he's African. He's, you know what I mean? He, like, kind of goes back and forth on
it. I think he's definitely African descent, but maybe he lived in Australia for a little
while. That's what I think happened. I think that, you know, kind of like Anthony Joshua, you know, grew up in England, or I think he grew up in England. But,
yeah, he grew up in England, yeah.
Yeah.
Anthony Joshua was like African too.
I know. Yeah. And that's what I was thinking. Like, I was thinking like Lennox Lewis almost, who grew up, was he Jamaican or something like that?
Jamaican.
But he represented Canada in the Olympics because he was Canadian, something like that. So, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I don't, you know, yeah, he's either. He's both, you know, but he always goes African, or he always switches it up. I'll tell you what, man. Yeah, Adesanya's Chinese. Yeah, that's what he was calling him earlier. That's what Strickland was calling him, the Chinaman or something like that. Yeah, I mean, this guy, like, Strickland is really unhinged. And if you get a chance to, you know, you can see that he's like a damaged person, like emotionally damaged. You know, when you hear his, like, his rants and stuff like that, you can tell, like, where he, you know, he seems, like, legitimately damaged. But if this works for him, then it works for him. I don't know, man. But he looked good last night. He really did. That was a huge upset, too. Huge.
Dana's saying that they want to do a rematch with the two of them. Do you think that it warrants a rematch because it was very one-sided? But
it was almost four rounds to one, I think, in Strickland, you know.
Yeah. And the thing about UFC, too, is if you're a long – reigning champion or whatever, and you get upset, I guess the tradition is they order like an immediate rematch. But didn't he already have an immediate rematch after he lost to somebody recently too? I mean, I don't know how many times do they do that. That's the thing. So
I don't know. It depends. I mean, that fight was pretty one-sided. It was in his home country. You know, unless something was happening with him. I mean, Adesanya didn't say anything. He didn't say much at the post-fight conference either. He didn't say much there. I don't know if there was something wrong with him. I don't know if there was, you know, who knows. But listen, it doesn't matter. You enter the ring, as far as I'm concerned, you're 100%. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, listen, you get in there, then, you know, you get in there, that's you're 100%. You've signed off and said, whatever I am, I'm good enough to compete against you tonight.
Yeah.
You can't use it as really an excuse, you know. It is.
I guess it's part of the course, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's so many, like I was talking about, I said, there's so many different ways in MMA to win the fight versus in boxing.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you may have, Adesanya may have the advantage everywhere in that fight, but that guy's wearing 4 ounce gloves too. And that guy hits just as hard, you know.
Well, think about this, because we were talking about this the other day on Thursday's roundtable, and I brought this up, and I guess Amanda Serrano is defending her title, and she's going to be fighting 12 3-minute rounds, and then, you know, there's always the discussion about the safety of it all, right?
Yeah.
And the whole thing with the knockouts. But if you notice, and I did this, you know, I did an anecdotal experiment, and I looked at Amanda Nunes, for instance. 80% of her fights or ended either in submission or knockout.
Yeah.
So with the extra time, the women probably don't have the same amount of stamina as men. So I think by sheer of fatigue, you would see more stoppages based off of that, because I think that's a big reason why in the MMA, in comparison to the guys, those fights don't normally go the distance in MMA in the women's division, especially in the 5-round fights.
Yeah.
You notice most of those do end in stoppage. Very, very rarely do they go to the decision
in comparison
to the men. And I think when you do add the time in there, because like I said, the women can't really go at the same intensity for as long a period of time as the men. I think the fights end quickly because they get tired. More so than the men do. I'm sure the men get tired as well.
Oh, sure.
But
yeah.
I think the fatigue affects the women a little bit more. So by adding that extra minute in there, you more than likely could see a woman fatigue more in boxing, and she could get more. You could see more stoppages as a result of that, in my opinion.
I think you'd probably see better fights. I think you'd see more exciting fights. And I know the argument, the 2-minute argument versus the 3-minute argument. But again, you know, you're not getting any knock. I mean, everybody's paying to watch you fight for 20 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
And then you're going to call yourself a champion at the end of 20 minutes. And I just, I mean, even in MMA, it's 25.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it's like, come on, man. Same terms, man. Just get the same terms. And if you guys don't want to, and if they don't want to do it the same terms, you don't want to do it for 3 minutes because you're not, you don't feel like you're getting paid for 3 minutes, then I don't know what to tell you.
And you're never going to get paid then.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In comparison to the men, I mean, they still make decent money, but I'm talking about in comparison to the men.
They were making more. Who was it? The one, I don't know if it was Paige Van Zandt or somebody was in there in MMA. She was a champion in MMA. She said she made more money on OnlyFans.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is like...
Well, Amanda Nunes was getting paid, apparently.
She was a champion. She was getting paid at least, I think, yeah. What did they say, champs get about $1 million? $1 million?
Yeah, I think Ronda Rousey was getting at one point.
She was huge.
Yeah, she was up there. So
it was Conor McGregor and then her were the two highest paid in there. Yeah.
Yep. Amanda Nunes. She had a pretty decent run herself. Yeah, she's making good money too. So
it's amazing how differently they're promoted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Boxing and you know, MMA has done it right, you know.
Yeah.
It's weird. All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here. Let's see here. Coming up on the 15th on ESPN and ESPN Plus, September 15th from Corpus Christi, Texas. Luis Alberto Lopez versus Joet Gonzalez, 12 rounds for Lopez, IBF featherweight title. Xander Zayas versus Roberto Valenzuela Jr., 10 rounds, junior middleweight. Xander Zayas, for those of you who don't know, is must-see TV.
Yeah.
That's who he is. Jermaine Ortiz versus Antonio Moran, 10 rounds, lightweight. Not a bad card.
A decent card, yeah.
Robson Canseco versus Humberto Galindo. Galindo, 8 rounds, junior lightweights. Not a bad card.
Not a bad card at all.
I'm not hating it. September 15th, Beeb on the zone. September 15th from Tijuana, Mexico, on the zone. You're paying for it. Angel Fierro versus Brian Zamapira, 12 rounds lightweights. Erica Cruz versus Melissa Odessa Parker, 10 rounds, women's featherweights. Beeb, you are paying for this card.
Yeah.
Paying for that nonsense.
Yeah, I paid for the year up front, man, so.
Unbelievable. What is their barometer over at the zone to make sure that you get your money's worth? What is the barometer over there?
Well, I get to watch the Ak and Barak show now.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, who doesn't want to watch them try on clothes with other dudes? Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, this has not been a great year for them.
Now, all the fights going on, and this is what you're doing.
Not been a great year. I guess the Bam, Bam Rodriguez versus Sonny Edwards, that's
I'm going to have to check that one out. I'll definitely check that one out. I like Bam.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
But you know what's really hurting them? They got competition now with Boxer, that guy Ben Shalom and that promotional company Boxer, because Top Rank works with, has a deal with Sky, and they also work with Frank Warren. So now, you know, Eddie Hearn's got some stiff competition over there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
for sure, man.
That Chris Eubank Jr. versus Liam Smith fight was a Sky show, right?
Yeah, and he's out of the Sky business, I think.
Yeah, so Eddie Hearn just does the zone, and he doesn't have that Sky. So
Tony Ayo says, I don't want to see Amanda Nunes on OnlyFans. Mad at you. September 16th, Commerce, California, on the zone. William Zepeda versus Mercito Gesta, 12 rounds, lightweights. Victor Morales versus Edwin Palomares, 10 rounds, featherweights. A slightly better card. I wouldn't go out of my way. I don't know. I wouldn't go out of my way.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think.
What's the biggest show that they've put on this year? And I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anthony
I mean, Anthony Joshua, who he fight, Jermaine Franklin this year, and then he fought Robert Hellenius. And, you know, you're paying this guy $8 million a fight or 50, whatever you're paying him. He's paying this guy, you know, in between $15 and $10 million a fight. And, again, I'm not counting anyone's pockets. Well, maybe I am, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
And these are the types of opponents. So if you're going to pay him that much money and to fight guys like, with all due respect, Jermaine Franklin and Robert Hellenius, then, I mean.
Those aren't $8 million fights. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't think anyway.
I mean, Tyson Fury's going to make like $50 million guaranteed plus the pay-per-view revenue for that Ngannou fight. So
you can't blame him. I mean, you can't blame him for fighting that dude.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't like the fight. Even after the press conferences this week, I didn't really care for it. Just doesn't do anything for me.
Then Eddie Hearn said, "Oh yeah, well, you know, he approached us, and Joshua told me he didn't want to do it." I'm like, "Listen,
of course he
did. Don't come on." I mean, absolutely. The Saudis decided they wanted to go with Fury. They decided they wanted to go with Joshua.
Joshua would have heard about it. Yeah.
There's not one fighter on this planet that would have said no to that $50 million guarantee to fight Francis Ngannou. Not one.
Would you have fought Francis Ngannou for $50 million?
Even I would have.
I would have absolutely got him for $50
million. I would have gotten all coked up so I wouldn't feel anything, and I would have went in there. I shouldn't be saying that. I take that back. That's
what's
not good for the
kids. You?
That's not good for the kids to hear that. I take that back.
What's the matter with you? It's a family show.
It is. It,
you're
I
talking about
like
getting coked up. Matter.
I guess that was bad.
What's wrong with you? Me too, you hear it in a minute. I'm gonna get canceled. What's wrong with you? September 23rd is the next big fight. That'll be ESPN Plus, Xylee Zhang versus Joe Joyce for Zhang's WBO heavyweight title. That's a good fight. That first one was pretty entertaining too. So
yeah.
And then of course September 30th, Showtime pay per view, Canelo Alvarez and Jermell Charlo. That's gonna be a big fight. That's gonna be a big fight too.
Did you see the all access for that yesterday?
I did not. No, was it any good?
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't bad.
I don't usually watch the all access. It depends on who's in it. You know, it just depends on who's in it.
Yeah.
So yeah, but the fights are coming up slowly but surely. They're coming up September. It's so disappointing that September 16th there's not a big fight.
No, they
always a big
yeah.
fight on Mexican yeah. Independence Day weekend.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Who do you like in that rematch with Zhang and Joyce? I actually think Joyce is going to beat him in the rematch. I thought Zhang was getting tired, and if it wasn't for that eye, I thought Joyce would have pulled it out. What do you think?
I don't know. Because, you know, I look at Zhang, and I say that guy should not have been able to beat Joyce.
No, right?
But I mean, all he was doing was the same thing Joe Joyce does, is that stupid jab. He's got that jab out, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see Joe Joyce win because I think he's more entertaining for the division. I think he's a better, you know. But if Zhang wins, man, listen, I was happy that Zhang won because that's a huge deal for him, man.
Yeah.
I'll be curious, man. Zhang is a big guy. And he's strong, you know. And
there's one thing he doesn't have that Joe Joyce has, though.
What's that?
That bone density, six times the amount of a normal man. That guy's got an adamantium skull. He's got an adamantium skeleton and a skull. But the one problem was the eye doesn't have the adamantium.
I was going to say, it didn't do much good last fight, you know.
The eye doesn't have the adamantium protection. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to bulk up that adamantium skeleton even more for this fight. And he's going to be ready. The punch resistance is going to be on another level.
Well, it better be because he does have a great defense. I got to be honest.
You may have to drop a piano on this guy to stop him this time. Just telling you that right now.
Joe Joyce, man. Joe the Juggernaut Joyce. There you go. All right, let's talk about this, man. Let's go to the news here, and then we'll go to the phones here real quick. Shakur Stevenson versus Frank Martin. This is a real strange one, Beeb. So, look, man, both fights and both camps agreed to terms, right? They canceled the purse bid. The contract was drawn up. They sent it over to Frank Martin. Suddenly, Frank Martin doesn't know what's going on. You know, he just ghosted him. Nothing. He just said basically he wasn't interested in the fight anymore. What? What do you mean you wasn't interested in the fight anymore? What does that even mean? Like, you guys went through all this nonsense. Went through the purse bid. They canceled the purse bid. They got all on the same page. And now all of a sudden you don't want to fight them? That's a duck. Clear duck.
Let's take a look at the WBC lightweight rankings right now. Devin Haney is currently champion in recess. Shakur Stevenson is ranked number one. Frank Martin's ranked number two. Vasily Lomachenko is ranked number three. Isak Cruz is number four. William Zepeda is number five. Out of that top five, those next four opponents all turned down fights with Shakur Stevenson. So
I mean, what can you do?
And you know, Edwin De Los Santos is ranked number six.
Mm-hmm.
And now, so he's got a fight if this can't be worked out with Martin, he has to face the number six guy.
Yeah.
So four guys said no. Now, here was my theory, because I guess the rumor was Derek James, Frank Martin's trainer, supposedly talked him out of it and told him not to take the fight. I don't know how true that is. I heard that. I don't know how true it is. But when I first heard this, you know what I was saying to myself? Because I looked at this and I saw how all those guys turned him down. And then the next fight would be Dos Santos, who's really – not many people know who that guy is. I don't know. Maybe others do. I don't. I don't think he's a popular fighter, with all due respect.
Yeah.
So I'm saying to myself, is Frank Martin doing this, maybe try to hold out to get some more money? That was my first reaction to this.
Right. But the contracts had been drawn up. They had agreed on everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they agreed on everything. So his management team, everybody knew about it.
Yeah.
They had to all know about it.
Thinking to myself, you know, could they amend the contract, give him a little bit more money? I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. But because Shakur Stevenson's back is up against the wall here. Like, how could they sell this Edwin De Los Santos fight?
An ESPN fight. That's not a pay-per-view.
I'm just saying, like, how do you sell tickets to that? And I don't mean that to disparage De Los Santos.
You're 100% right. Nobody knows that dude.
So that's what I'm saying. Like Martin, I'm thinking Martin knows this. Like, I got this guy up, his back is up against the wall. He's like, no one wants to fight this guy. Right. So now I could say, well, if you really want this fight, bump up that 1 million to maybe 1.5. Let's see what's going on here. So that's what I'm thinking. Like, maybe they could bring him back to the table if they bump up the money a little bit. I don't know.
I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, you don't think he's – because my first instinct was to say this has to be a ploy, right? This has to be a ploy to try to get more money, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, man.
It's bad. I mean, that is a bad look.
This guy's 28 years old, man. I don't mean – what's good?
Yeah, right? Yeah. MEZ Box brings us in, said Les Martin's getting the tank fight. Possible? Same promoters?
I don't know, man. They talked about an Isak. That's another thing that they're saying. Like, well, what people are saying is the only way that they would accept what Martin is doing is if he's to get a tank fight. But I don't. They're talking about Isak Cruz versus Tank next. So I don't know.
Isak Cruz looked awful his last fight out. He looked awful.
He hasn't looked great. Since that loss.
And he lost. Yeah. Period. Point blank. He lost. And he hasn't looked good since then. So what is a rematch going to do for us here? What does a rematch do for anybody? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, as well as you thought he did, he lost. And again, he hasn't looked good in subsequent fights.
I heard Frank Martin's highest payday was $100,000, not $75,000. And now this was going to be for $1 million. So I don't know, man.
Listen, he's not that great. I don't believe that he's that guy, that he's the next guy coming up. I think that he's a world-class fighter, no question about it. Top 10, absolutely. Is he better than Shakur? No. Is he better than Devin Haney? No. You know, I think that he can get a title. If he gets a title, he'll have to do it, you know, at another organization or something like that. But he's not going to beat Shakur. No way.
I don't know. Is he waiting for Haney to vacate all the titles and maybe fight for one of the other vacant titles? Because he's ranked by number three by the WBA. Let me see what he's ranked by the IBF. He's ranked number six by the IBF. And he's ranked number six by the WBO. So is the plan to wait for one of those other titles to get vacated? Because Devin Haney supposedly is fighting on December 9th.
Yeah.
With Regis Prograde. So.
Yeah, you know, I kind of wonder about that. Like, my thought process here is that they offered him another title fight against an easier fight for more money. That's what I think. Because
the other title
sounds long for just about anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the other titles haven't been vacated yet, so I don't know. Maybe it could be for an interim title possibly. You could be right. I don't know.
Yeah, he'll have something else. They've got something else lined up. And it's going to be on the PBC side, because again, he's their fighter. But why they go through that? Why they go through the contract and everything like that? Then he says he's not interested.
I don't know.
That's just ridiculous to me.
I don't get it.
And now Shakur's got to go back to the drawing board, figure something out, and defend against the number six guy. Really? I mean, what's that going to do? Come on, man.
Bananas, bro.
All right, so I want you to go into this next one here with Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder. Beebe, you talked about Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn had some stuff to say. Now, I know that, like, to me, this fight, I always felt like it was a long shot. I don't feel like Joshua wants to fight that dude. I really don't. I don't think they want to fight that guy.
I think Saudi, because I guess Skills Challenge was the one that they were talking to originally, and now Skills Challenge kind of backed out, and now there's a new group in Saudi, which is it's called the Riyadh Group. It's a group in Riyadh, and they're the people who are handling the Fury versus Ngannou fight. And what I'm suspecting is they feel that a Fury versus Joshua fight is bigger than a Joshua versus Wilder fight, possibly, this group in Saudi. So I think that this is the direction that they probably want to go in. I wouldn't be surprised if Fury fights Joshua next. I'd rather see him fight Usyk next, but from a monetary standpoint, I mean, this is just a bigger fight. Like, Usyk just fought Daniel Dubois, and the purse bid for that fight was $8 million. Like, Usyk got like $6 million for that. Joshua got like $8 million to beat Robert Hellenius in six rounds. You know what I mean? So Fury's getting $50 million, I guess, up front for this Ngannou fight. So I think the fight that Saudi wants is the Joshua fight with Fury. And even Eddie Hearn, he's like, yeah, well, he even said himself in interviews that, you know, he wouldn't be surprised if Fury was next. He said it could be either one. But like I said, I don't think that Wilder fight is going to happen. I think Joshua will probably fight again in December. They're talking about having him either fight Andy Ruiz or Filip Hrgović. I'm guessing it's going to be Filip Hrgović because he's an Eddie Hearn fighter, the Matchroom fighter.
Yeah.
You know, and they were saying that they were going to push for that IBF mandatory with Usyk, but nah, he'll probably because Hrgović didn't look great in his last fight, right? So they'll probably throw him in there with Joshua in December. And then you possibly could see Fury versus Joshua in maybe April of next year,
and
or April or May.
What's going to be the worst about that is it's going to be in Saudi. It's not going to be in England, where it should be. You know, the Joshua Fury fight really should be in England. But listen, man, I don't care where it is because I'm probably not going to go to it anyway. But, like, I don't care where it is. I just want to see these fights. And so, like, you think about Saudi – and you think about what they've done with the world of sports. They've kind of turned it upside down. And they've got so much money over there. Look at what they've done with golf. Live Golf, I think, folded up. But they were paying them crazy amounts of money over there. You know, look at the soccer. They paid they offered Messi $1 billion to come over there. Ronaldo's already playing down there for just a bucket of money. I mean, they've offered people $1 billion to come down and play in Saudi. They've got money to burn over there.
Well, here's the problem, too, because everyone thinks that they're – I mean, they are making a mark in the sports world, no question. But they get their money through what's called the Public Investment Fund, which is funded by the – 60% of that is funded by the government.
Yeah.
So whenever they need to, you know, get some type of sports deal done, they have to go through the government. And you know how the government works. The government is it's always seems to be when you need to go through something through the government, it becomes a cumbersome process. So that's why like Eddie Hearn saying, oh well, you know, they still have to get the funds approved, this and that, because they have to get the money through that investment fund. That's where all the sports money is coming from that investment fund. And that's the one problem that they have over just like how we do it over here in the United States. I mean, if a network decides they want to pay a rights fee or you know, you get a site fee from a casino, whatever, it's like, boom, whatever. These fights get done quick.
Yeah.
So as far as Saudi being the boxing capital of the world, I'm not so sure about that, because they say they're only interested in premium fights. And the reason why I believe that is because they have so much of money tied up in the other sports that there's only a specific amount allotted for the boxing. So if they're going to do boxing fights, they have to be premium fights, because they're few and far between. I mean, they only did one event this year, and Fury's is going to be the second event they do this year. The T-Mobile Arena, PBC, got that booked up for the rest of the year. They've been putting steady pay-per-views in there all year, right? So that's what I'm saying. And it's never they're never going to take fights away from the United States, because of the time difference.
I don't know. I'm not 100% on that. I'm really not.
You know,
listen, man, if they offer them a boatload of money, again, those are.
But if you have two American fighters, I still think like Vegas, California, New York will be the hot spots for that.
Well, we thought about two British fighters, too.
With the UK?
The UK would be the hottest place. They're selling out stadiums over there.
Yeah.
We're talking like stadium size.
The reason why it's different in that aspect, because of the time. The time is closer together, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we've seen the same thing in Japan with Mike Tyson. He'll fight in Japan, and they're showing that at 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You know?
They'll still be a player, but I don't think that they will take over boxing. Take away a lot of fights from America. I think UK's got to worry about them more than we do.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope you're right, because you know, hey,
you can't, like, you're not going to do like a Spence Crawford over there. You're not going to do, you know, Tank versus Ryan over there. The West Coast market is still very strong here in the United States for boxing. Maybe the East Coast is has waned a bit, but that West Coast market, that California area, even that Texas area, you know, that's still a big market for boxing.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So I hope you're right, man. I really do. Speaking of the UK, Brian Bo Mac McIntyre, Terence Crawford's trainer, was arrested last Sunday on charges of attempting to board a plane with a gun checked in his luggage, according to police. He was arrested at Manchester Airport in England one day after he steered, Chris Eubank Jr. to a stoppage win over Liam Smith. Greater Manchester Police said that McIntyre is charged with possession of a firearm and possession of ammunition for a firearm without a certificate. He had a court appearance Monday morning and was remanded into police custody. I think he's got a return on October 9th for a court date or something to that effect.
Yeah, I think he's still in the UK. He hasn't.
He's still over there. They're not letting him go.
No, they're not letting him go. They can't let him go because of that charge.
Wow.
And I guess he's. Some people tell me he's able to bail himself out. Other people are telling me that he has to stay in the jail because of the seriousness of that crime.
Wow.
Apparently. He was able to get the gun in because he took a private plane in, and the security on a private plane is not as stringent.
Oh yeah.
So and then he took like a commercial flight on the way out, And the reason they're saying that he brought that gun over there was because the last time he was over there with Amir Khan, apparently someone tried to rob him. But again, I mean,
listen, man.
Okay,
what are you going to do? Pull out your gun?
You're going to kill somebody? I mean, what are you going to do? You pull the gun out? I mean, what are you going to do? No matter what happens, you're putting yourself in a very sticky situation. So
yeah, that's
and this guy's my age. He's exactly my age. He's 54.
He's
54 years old. Like, he's my age, 54 years old. He's not a kid anymore. Like, you don't.
Shouldn't you know better than to carry your gun? I mean,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
You walk around thinking like you're a gangster or something. That,
right.
You got to grow out of it. You should have been grown out of that phase by now, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, in Ohio, you don't even need to conceal carry to carry one. Like, I could just go to the store and have one on me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. There's, like, no license, no conceal carry, nothing. I mean, I could just, you know, put one in my pocket and go up there or whatever. But, like, you got to think about it. Like, why would you know what I mean? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, the gun laws over there are very, very strict.
Yeah. And if you're traveling to some place, if you're going to, if you need a gun on your person everywhere you go, I would, you know, maybe you need to figure out where you're going and why you need this. And is it, you know, is it really something you need to do?
Or maybe you need to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, well, why, you know, why would a lot of these people want to hurt me in the first place?
Maybe I ought to change. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, seriously, why would
what am I doing wrong that I feel the need that everyone's against me here?
I don't get it. Have you? Okay, so Nando's is a restaurant out in England, right? Is there? I've never been there either. And I think there's some. I thought there was some stateside. I don't know. But have you tried the Nando's sauce, like the sauce they put on the wings and stuff like that they use? I guess it's like a chicken wing place. But you can pick it up at the grocery store. It's just called Nando's or whatever.
Oh, really? Yeah, I've never seen that.
It's not
is
that
it good?
Good. No, it's not that good. I don't really care for it. A lot of people like it. I'm just not one of them. So.
Yeah, but you have very distinctive taste buds, though. I mean,
That's very true. I'm very picky, as you can see. Yeah. So
you buy a filet mignon, you put ketchup on it. I mean, who does that?
Oh, well, who doesn't do that? I mean, you got to have ketchup on it, right?
Please.
Regis Prograis versus Devin Haney is targeted for December 9th in San Francisco, according to ESPN. And I'm assuming this will be on ESPN, correct, Deeb?
What is it, Regis Prograis versus Devin Haney?
Yeah.
No, that'll probably actually be a DAZN fight, because that's going to be – Regis Prograis is with Eddie Hearn. And,
is he with Eddie Hearn? That's right. He is with Eddie Hearn, isn't he?
Yeah. So
they're
so Eddie Hearn's been putting that one together, because Regis is still – Devin's is a free agent right now. He bought his last fight with Top Rank. That was his last one under contract.
Gotcha.
So he's free to go. He's free to go wherever he wants now. So that would more than likely be on DAZN.
So let me ask you this. Now, the fight is going to take place in San Francisco. It's being targeted for San Francisco. That's an odd place. I haven't heard Frisco in a long time. I mean, it's about like when Andre Ward was fighting, he would fight, you know, right over there in Oakland or whatever, or the Bay Area right in there. But short of that, like, I haven't – it's not a place that we hear every day, put it that way.
I think Devin Haney, if I'm not mistaken, is from the Bay Area originally.
Is he?
If I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong there, but if someone can correct me in the chat, but I believe he is from the Bay Area, I think.
Yeah, let me see where he's
from. He's
from San Francisco. Yep, you're right. That's why.
And then he moved over to Vegas.
Yeah, but he's from San Francisco, California, born.
Yeah, so.
Yep.
Eddie even said when people were asking about the location before they announced it, he's like, it's going to be one that you wouldn't expect. And here it is, something you wouldn't expect.
Well, why, like, if Prograis is his fighter, why would he put it in San Francisco? Why not? Louisiana that thing could sell out in New Orleans?
Unfortunately, in this situation, Devin's kind of the A-side here. He's the bigger draw. He's a more well-known fighter. And I guess Prograis didn't look great fighting at home. It kind of bothered him a little bit. The pressure got to him. So maybe that's it too.
Yeah, maybe that's it too. A lot of guys have trouble fighting at home, man. It's a tough thing to do. You know, I mean, I can imagine you guys are getting harangued all the time for tickets and, hey, how's your training going? Just nonsense from people you don't know anything about who don't talk to you other than the fact now they want to go to this fight, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah, man. And Teofimo Lopez named super champion by the WBO. There should be no super champion status. They only do this for fees. It's completely ridiculous. So now Teofimo Stevenson has no belt now. He has no belt because you can't defend a super champion belt, right?
Well, it's not the same as the franchise. So with the WBO super champion status,
I got
what it allow. Yeah, so what it allows you to do.
You're right.
Yeah, so what this allows you to do is if you want to move up a weight class, you can automatically challenge for that. So if he wants to move up to welterweight.
Yeah, but can't you do that anyway? If you're the champion, like if I'm the WBC champion and I want to move up to 154, I can't do that? I can't just go fight the guy because I'm the champion.
No, you can't do that.
I wouldn't be ranked number one.
I mean, they could allow you to do that if they wanted to, the WBC, but this guarantees that you can if you want. So you actually become the mandatory. So if you move from 140 to 147, he becomes the mandatory in the new weight class. He can exercise that.
Crazy, man. All right, let's go to Robert here, 530. Robert, we missed you last week.
Yeah, hello,
Robert,
guys.
What did you think of that what did you think of the Fury and Gano press conference? Does that make you want to buy the fight?
Absolutely not, and I'm disappointed. That's on my birthday.
You're a liar.
Boxing could do better than that. Give me a break. But let me answer a few questions.
You're going to buy it.
No, I'm not. Now, Eric, let me answer a few questions. You wanted to know what the biggest event so far that DAZN has had this year. That would be May 6th that would be May 6th when Canelo fought John Ryder. That's the biggest event they've had so far this
year.
That
was the biggest event they've had this year?
So
Bobby, you called out the biggest. You think that was the biggest event?
No, Eric was asking for DAZN.
For DAZN. That's the biggest event on DAZN.
That's the biggest event
that DAZN. That's the biggest fight on DAZN?
Yeah.
That is completely piss poor.
I cannot believe
you guys are paying for this.
Now, if you're if you're not counting the crossover fights, then the crossover fights would take precedence because Jake Paul's been on there. They're going to have Tommy Fury on there. They're going to have KSI on there.
We're not counting crossover fights because regular boxing guys, bought this thinking they were going to put fights on.
Yeah,
legitimate fights.
Is that why you bought the DAZN, Robbie, for crossover fights? Was that your main mission to buy the DAZN so you could watch crossover fights?
No, fuck no. I'm a boxing guy, okay? And the DAZN has really pissed me off.
Why are you bragging about these crossover fights? Like you're trying to hype up these crossover fights like they're doing something great by having these crossover fights.
Yeah.
No, I'm.
What about that, Robert?
Why supercount the crossover fights?
I'm making a point here. I don't advocate for those damn things. I can't stand them, and that's exactly the way I view this Tyson Fury Ngannou fight. Yes, he's going to make a boatload of money. Congratulations to him. It's going to be an easy victory. But you're the fucking heavyweight champion. What the hell are you doing?
Making money.
Well,
making money. I mean, what can you say? I mean, would you turn if you were the heavyweight champion? Would you turn down $50 million?
No, I wouldn't. But I don't
there
blame him for making money. But Jesus Christ, why do you have to waste your time with that?
Robbie, you just said that if you were him, you would do the same thing, and now you're cussing him up for doing something that you would do.
I don't like it, Joe.
Let me pull out my Webster's dictionary and look up the word hypocrite, and I bet you a picture of your face is right there.
Joe, I do think you're correct. I do think Joshua will get Hrgović, and frankly, Filip Hrgović, the last two fights I've seen him, he's an easy target. Zhang should have beat him, and he should have lost his last fight. There's nothing that Filip Hrgović offers. Joshua, that'll be easy pickings for him.
Can you imagine if the WBA orders a rematch of Usyk versus Dubois because Frank Warren won the appeal?
Did he win?
Would that,
No, I don't think he submitted it this last. He submitted it last week. I'm just finding
clear low blow. It was a clear low blow, son. It was low.
I'm curious to see what's going to happen.
Nothing. He's going to take DuBois. And DuBois quit. Listen, man, it looked like DuBois bought out of that fight anyway. I don't know. I'm not there. I'm just saying, when things got tough.
You've had it in for DuBois.
You've had it in for him
for years now, man.
You know, I picked Joe Joyce to beat him. Joe Joyce has always been my role dog.
Well,
that's who he is, man. I've always been with Joe Joyce from the get-go.
And I also agree with Joe. I think Joe Joyce will win the rematch. He was coming on before the eye exploded. So I do think he'll win the rematch.
Eye exploded.
Well, I mean, look how bad it was, for God's sake.
Is this Nightmare on Elm Street? His eye exploded?
What are your thoughts on Mike Montero, Robert?
Hey,
winning his fight by knockout, minute 45.
Congratulations to him, man. That takes a lot of guts.
You said on the phone yesterday. You said he was overrated. You were dissing him like crazy.
So, Bobby, let me ask you a question. Who do you think wins in a fight, wins in a boxing match? Our very own, Joe Habib or Michael Montero?
I agree with Beeb here. A Marine is a lot better than an Army person, and he would have no chance.
Wow, that was rough. That was rough, man. I think Beeb does a good job. I mean, even if he loses,
wow. If you saw the movie Full Metal Jacket, you don't know anything about the Marine.
Full Metal Jacket.
I've had family members in the military. I know everything there is to know about the military, Beeb.
There you go.
Robert said,
a sixth cousin in the Marines or something? Come on.
Yeah, and by the way, congratulations to San Francisco. That's a brand new arena that they're going to be using. That's the arena that the Golden State Warriors play in. There's not a bad seat in the house.
Who cares about Frisco, son? Who cares about them? Who cares about the Niners or Oakland or anybody over there?
Robert, where do you even have a team anymore? Do you live in the Bay Area, Robert?
What
are you, like 3 hours away?
I'm 4 hours away from San Francisco, yeah.
Wow, you're that far away?
Yeah.
So you buy it, that's why.
Wow.
Yeah, take a bus there, you buy it. Yeah.
You're like north of Cali. You're like north, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm up here by the Oregon border, Eric. So, yeah, I'm about four hours away from San Francisco. But,
I didn't think you were that far up there.
No, California is a big state.
It really is, man. We talked about, I've been to Frisco before, and we talked about going back there. This beautiful place. I mean, if you haven't been to Frisco,
It is.
I'm sure it's got its places like anything else, but I thought it was beautiful, man. Napa, all that other good stuff out there. But I was like, I could probably see Robert while I'm out there, but, man, you live 4 hours away?
Yeah, no, California is a big-ass place, man. But San Francisco is one of my favorite cities to visit. Man, I'd never want to live there, though. The cost of living in San Francisco is absolutely outrageous. Yeah.
They have a brand new arena,
and this will be their first ever boxing event in that brand new arena. So props for them.
Wow.
And I hope it sells well, because San Francisco used to be a big place for boxing in the 60s and the 70s when, like, Bobby Chacon and a few other people, would fight.
That's right, yeah.
Remember, they would fight in Sacramento and San Francisco and places like that. No, there's a lot of, and I don't know if it still exists, but back in the 70s and 80s, there used to be
the Cow Palace.
There used to be lots of fights. So it's nice to see some of that coming back. And the only disappointing thing about it, and I understand why they're doing it, because Devin Haney is the A side. It is a DAZN pay per view, so you will have to. It'll be a pay per view for that fight.
Yeah, Are you sure it's a pay per view, Robert?
Because I got an email from DAZN yesterday, promoting the fight.
How did you get one and I didn't get one? I'm a DAZN subscriber. Stop fibbing here.
I, And well, no, it
I need
is
you to
apparent.
Send me a. I need you to forward me that email so I know, because I don't believe it.
It is a DAZN pay-per-view, guys. So you know, and I figured it up this year with all of the different platforms. This will be the Progress Haney will be the sixth pay-per-view we've had this year for boxing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. The UFC pay-per-view last night, $85.
No. Yeah, I know. Well, that's
what the it used to be 60. They bumped it up to 85 too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
I'm pretty sure
well,
it was.
That,
yeah, I'm pretty sure
that,
it was because that's what was like, you know.
That's what the Canelo one's going to be. It'll be $85, just like the Tank one was,
yeah.
And like the Crawford and Spence one was. So you know.
That's great.
Yep.
$80. Yeah, it was $80.
Yep.
Wow, they bumped it up then, huh?
Yep.
Used to be 60.
Yep. Bumped it up, man. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
All right, Robert, we're going to get running.
All right.
We're going to get running, man. So we'll keep you on hold.
Charlotte.
Stop it. What's the matter with you? Charlatan. Hey, really?
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
That's right. That's right. If you like what we're doing, hit the like button. Doesn't cost anything. Subscribe to us. That doesn't cost anything. You know. Come on. Days. 410, Baltimore.
What's happening,
Jerry,
folks?
I believe it's Jerry. Jerry, what's happening, man? What's the word?
Jerry, how you doing, brother?
Well,
you're doing great.
Good.
Those Ravens won today, didn't they?
They sure did. I can't say the same thing about
they look
the bug
good,
holes.
Man.
The bug holes.
Boy,
got
they look bad today. Jesus.
They looked horrible,
you
man.
Know, I don't remember the last time they didn't score an offensive touchdown, and they looked awful. T. Higgins got targeted eight times. Not
be
one reception.
Week. They'll play
you
better
know,
next
you know, that's
week
what they did last year, too.
Yeah.
They did that last week, or last year, too, where they took about three or four games for them to get moving.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, that's not uncommon. I expect the game against the Ravens, that's going to be a hell of a game. That's who the division going to come down to, those two teams. The Ravens won. They played a bum team. They didn't look that good either, the Ravens. Lamar Jackson turned the ball over two times.
Oh, yeah, he didn't look good at all.
Nah, man, I'm not a fan of his. I try to stand behind the home team's quarterback no matter what. But this guy just held out for too much money, man. He said he wanted to be traded at one point, and he wanted this player and that player. And you know what? He's an athletic guy, but he just hasn't proven it to get that type of money, if you ask me. You know.
Yeah, he does games in stretches. You know what I mean? Like he'll be good. He'll be good one game. He'll be like phenomenal one game, and then the next couple games he's back to his old ways.
Very much average, And he's been hurt the last two seasons. How in the hell are you going to sit?
Yeah.
2 years ago, the Ravens went from first to last when he got injured, and then last year he gets injured again supposedly. And then even when they played Cincinnati in a playoff game, he didn't even travel right up the road to go with the team.
He wasn't even there.
Yeah, and they said before the game that he claimed himself ineligible, which many people know more about football than me, but what that means to me is that the team doctor didn't say he couldn't play. He said he couldn't play.
He said.
Yeah, that's what was the last
straw.
Yeah,
he was worried about that contract. But that should tell you about that guy. You know what I mean? Like,
that was the last straw for me with him, you know. I still root for the team, but I'm not his biggest fan. And if he doesn't play well, the fans here are going to turn on him quick because they see what I've seen. Yeah. But anyway, about boxing, a couple things. Let me get a few bars off. I'm not surprised at all that this Joshua Wilder fight might not happen because every time Joshua fights, he says Wilder's next. He's been doing this for years now, and the fight just doesn't materialize. Fury is a much bigger fight than Wilder. That's not even close. Anyone who thinks Wilder's a star is delusional. When he fought Helenius, now, of course it was Helenius, but I think it was like 60,000 or 70,000 pay-per-view. The only time Wilder has really sold is when he fought Fury, because prior to that, he didn't sell either. Guy's not a big star. I personally think he's washed up. I don't know who wins between him and Joshua, because he's still going to be dangerous with the right hand, and Joshua is vulnerable. I pick Zhang. I'm going with Zhang again. I think he beats Joyce again. Joyce is just too cumbersome, and Joyce. The only way he can win, if you ask me, he's going to come with a lot more intensity, because that old boy was intense in that fight, Zhang. Regardless, he's had a few setbacks, Zhang, but he was hyped for that fight, ready to get himself back into the top frame, and I think he does it again. And then lastly, Martin and Shakur Stevenson. Does Stevenson have a belt at 135?
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't, right. So it shouldn't be no surprise.
He'll be fighting for the vacant title. It was supposed to be him and Martin for the vacant title. And now, as I explained earlier, you have Zepeda in there, you have Izak Cruz in there, and you got Vasily Lomachenko. All of them are ranked, and they all turned this fight down. So now he's got to fight this guy who's ranked number six, Dos Santos. And so you're going to have the number one ranked guy versus the number six ranked guy for the vacant title. I don't know. I hope they can find a way to bring Martin back to the table here. I hope this fight isn't 100% off.
He ain't coming back, son.
Surprised that Shakur's having a hard time making fights, because it's almost a guaranteed loss, and it's not a big fight. It's not a lot of money. Now, I thought Martin, Yeah, it's nothing new in boxing. When you're a young upstart and you're real hard to beat and you don't represent big money, I mean, we've seen it a million times. What it's going to take is Aram is going to have to overpay a couple fighters to get them in the ring with him. That's what it's going to come down to. But Aram, his history is that he kind of pays you for what you do, not so much for what you might do. And that could be difficult for – he may only be able to promote Shakur to some degree unless he's willing to invest in a little bit higher. And for that to happen, Shakur's got to stay fan-friendly. He can't get in there and have boring defensive type of fights, because Aram's not going to want to invest in that, regardless of how dominant he may be in those fights. That's not going to make any fans. So the guy's not very well-known. Oh, and then lastly – I definitely want to see Tank versus Pitbull Cruz again. Pitbull didn't look good in his last fight, like Martin didn't look good in his last fight. I thought he lost that fight, Martin. I thought that guy beat him going away. But Tank Davis, Pitbull Cruz is the only guy, or really like one of two guys, that has went the distance with Tank. And he was chasing him all around the ring, landing big head and body shots. Tank Davis claimed his hand was hurt, but like Pitbull said, yeah, well, my hand was hurt too. Fighters lived with hurt hands. That's the life of a fighter. You don't get courtesy points, right, if your hand is hurt. And when he asked him about fighting him again, he said, hell no. So I don't think they're going to fight him again, though. I think that you're hearing about it, but they've had chances to go back and redo that, three or four chances since then. They're not doing it, but his name keeps coming up. But if they do fight, I'll be watching it. Oh, and let me not forget DAZN. DAZN can kiss my ass. Haney, Progress, that's not a pay-per-view fight. I canceled it a few months back because they're doing nothing to appease the American market. I mean, absolutely zero. If they put on a fight that American fans are interested in, they make it pay-per-view. And what's his name, Earn, he said when he started with that thing that they weren't going to do pay-per-views, that they were changing the industry. They're subscription-based, all boxing, yik-yak, yik-yak. Now, if it's any fight that American fans are interested in, they want us to pay for it on top of the subscription.
I can't believe they're putting that fight on pay-per-view, man. I'm shocked.
Yeah, it was going to be on pay-per-view, And, I mean, we'll watch it. I think I'll watch it. I think you'll watch it, Beeb.
I'll watch it, of course, yeah.
Yeah, but again, man, it's not a pay-per-view quality type of fight,
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Jerry, you going to buy Fury? Are you buying Fury and Ngannou, Jerry?
No, I'm not buying that either. I mean, to be honest, I got two mortgages, three or four truck payments, lots of bills, man. I got my daughter just started college a couple weeks ago, and I still buy fights.
Yeah, for sure. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations. I'm not buying the Fury fight, but I don't blame Fury for fighting that guy. I mean, what you got? You got Usyk fighting Dubois. That was nothing special there. And in my opinion, he should have lost the fight. You got Joshua fighting Usyk and not talking about fighting anybody for $8 million. And so, I mean, he's going to get $50 million, man. I there's no way I could blame him for fighting that, fight. But Tyson Fury, he's got a mindset right now, from what I can tell, because he's hard to read because he's all over the place oftentimes. But he just wants to cash in on his super. He's not really interested, I don't think, in proving any further that he's better than this one or that one. I'd love to see him fight Usyk, although I think he makes easy work out of Usyk. Boring fight, but just tactically, I don't think Usyk is going to be able to get to him. The Joshua fight might be a little bit more intriguing, but Joshua doesn't want to fight him, I don't think. He could have made that fight by now. And people blame Tyson Fury, but how do we know? You know, we weren't in the room to really know, what the deal was.
Yeah.
It was just hearsay. So,
sure.
I can't blame him.
Sure. So what do you think Joshua's going to end up doing, man? Do you think he's just going to be fighting guys like Hergovich for the rest of his career? I mean, I don't know. At some point, they're going to have to put him in there with the big fight, right?
Well, I mean, I guess you would think so, but the son of a bitch makes a lot of money. Now, you said he got $8 million for that fight. I'm surprised to hear it was that low because he, what I've seen from his purses, they've been like $30, $40, $50 million. Of course, when he fought in Saudi Arabia, of course, they break the bank over there, but this guy making a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know, man. Ever since he took that beating from Ruiz, it seems like they just said, you know what, we're going to go back to the bank with this guy. We're not going back to the gym necessarily. We're going back to the bank, and we'll just ride, keep cashing out on him until people don't want to buy it no more, and then maybe try to make the big fights. But Wilder, I seen a thing today where Wilder said he plans to make big fights over the next 3 years. I'm like, yeah, okay. Bro, you fought one time since Fury left you face down on the mat. Yeah, and it was a total, the fight could have been even fixed the way it looked. And this guy, I think Wilder's washed up. I think he's still always going to be dangerous with that right hand. But what I've seen in those second and third Fury fights was a gun-shy fighter. And if you really look at when he was throwing his right hand, a lot of times it was coming off really sloppy. It was like one out of every 8-10 right hands was a meaningful punch thrown with some good technique, and then otherwise he kind of slapped with it. His legs don't look good. He punch resistance doesn't seem to be good. I mean, but this guy's had, what's he had, Eric, about 50 fights now? What's he, 37, 38?
Something around there,
He's getting up there in age.
It wouldn't be no surprise if he was washed up. Plus, if you look at what he made in those Fury fights, I mean, he's probably living a pretty good life now, too, and you got to imagine the hunger's not there. Which
37,
leads me to,
yeah.
With 37, which leads me to Canelo Alvarez. Now, I would likely never pick Jermell Charlo to beat Canelo, but I think Canelo's been slipping in his last three or four fights. I think that super middleweight run. I think that super middleweight run took a lot out of him. This guy's been getting $50, $60 million a fight for like the last dozen fights. I mean, he's made a ton of money at this point. And you got to imagine the hunger is probably not there like it once was. And, I think Jermell Charlo has the physical tools to beat Canelo, but I think what will probably get him is the mental. I think he'll go like
planned. He puts a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah, put that pressure on
him. All
right,
Jerry,
we're going
to get running, man. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate your call, as usual. Good call. Beeb, so about that, I had talked about Canelo slipping for a while now. And even with some slippage, he's still an A fighter. Any chance that Charlo can beat him?
You know what the problem for me is this. Both Charlos, in my opinion, they're not great inside fighters. They look uncomfortable when they're smothered. Right. Yeah. Canelo is a phenomenal, phenomenal mid-range to inside fighter. And Canelo's a great body puncher. And you got that big, long torso to fire those body shots at. I like Canelo by ninth round stoppage in this fight. I think he stops Charlo.
I think it's a more competitive fight than we're going to give it credit for. I really do.
I hope you're right.
I like Charlo a lot, and I think he's a really good boxer. I don't know, you know, and again, just a little slippage, man. You're talking about razor-thin margins on anybody these guys fight, and just a little bit of an advantage. You know, again, there's levels to it. No doubt Canelo's a higher level above. But, man, listen, they both got two hands, and anything can happen, man. Anything can happen. So, all right.
I mean, Canelo,
go ahead.
Canelo was coming off of his injuries, and for the first time, you know, he had the wrist surgery or whatever, and, you know, had some issues with his knee. But supposedly the fight with Ryder was a fight that he was supposed to be 100% in without the injury. So we'll see. I mean, he didn't look great in that fight either.
He didn't look
great
in that fight either, yeah.
So I don't know if it's the injuries or if it's the long-term career that he's had. He's been a pro since he's 15 years old.
He's 14 or 15 or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of miles on him, man.
A lot of miles on him, so we'll
and
see.
I tell you, you know, the one thing that's really underrated about Charlo is that guy can box. A lot of people think he's just loving about power and looking to land shots. That guy can fight. He can box.
Yeah.
He's very good. He's early a solid world-class boxer, man.
Early in his career, he used to box a lot. Then he became more of an offensive, aggressive fighter. But
right.
We'll see what he does this fight. Maybe he'll surprise us all, and he'll be more of a boxer in this fight. And maybe he'll trouble Canelo from the outside. We'll see.
There you go. All right. 404, Atlanta, you're live. Then again, maybe you're not. All right. Do you think Shakur Stevenson is an exciting fighter?
Can be. He can be. He hasn't always been, but he can be.
Do you think? Because that's my big thing versus him and Devin Haney is that, number one,
yeah.
We haven't really seen a lot of personality from Shakur. We know he has it, but we haven't seen a lot of it. The other thing is that, you know, I like to watch that kind of boxing. You like to watch that kind of boxing. Everybody else, not so much. Not so
yeah.
much.
He needs a breakthrough fight, just like everybody else. And Steve Kim said this, that he may have to fight a guy like Haney or Tank and really take the short end of the stick just so he can get one of those big ones under his belt.
Listen,
and then,
man, that's what Floyd did.
Yeah, make that sacrifice early on so you can be the man later on, you know, so.
Yeah. And that's what Floyd did. And as soon as he did it, he was the guy. No question.
Yeah.
Then he takes something stupid from De La Hoya, too, like 75-25.
It was some ridiculous number. Yeah, he had to show it.
I'll take it. And then he went in there and beat him. And the rest is – De La Hoya still claims he won that fight. But
he lost that fight.
De La Hoya claims a lot of stuff now. Did you hear he was talking about Canelo. And he said that if Terrence Crawford fought Canelo, Terrence Crawford would make him look like a child. So he's trashing Canelo left and right. He trashes Ryan Garcia, all his fighters. Who does he really have left over there? Other than Jaime Munguia, who's left?
We'll see what happens with Virgil Ortiz when he was up to 154 because he's had those health issues. We'll see if moving up in weight will solve all those health issues with him. I'm not 100% sure that it will. I think that there's some underlying things going on with Virgil Ortiz, but I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah,
I hope so too.
You know, we don't want to see that. But again, this isn't really the type of sport you get in if you have some underlying conditions, man.
Yeah.
They're very dangerous. Rafali says that, or Rafael says that Floyd made $20 million off the Oscar fight. Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but he still got the short end of the stick. I don't know what the split was.
Well, Oscar made about over $50 million for that fight, so.
Did he? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he made a lot of money. That's back in 2007.
Danny wants to know, is Canelo justified in his claims about De La Hoya's dishonesty? Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
100%. If you have even a question about that, Danny, I would urge you to go. And what was it on HBO, wasn't it? It was HBO. I guess it's Max now. It's whatever. But there's a documentary about Oscar De La Hoya. I think it's called Golden Boy or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Go watch that documentary. I think it's in two parts. And I'm not a big De La Hoya fan, but I thought I'm probably going to watch this for like a half hour. No, I was hooked. I was hooked in there. And it was one of those where, like, you know how, like, when somebody has a documentary and they tell their side of the story, you're like, I can kind of see that. I can see, you know, I don't feel the same way as going in as I did about him. I felt worse coming out of this documentary about De La Hoya than I did even going in. And I wasn't a big fan of his going in.
He's a troubled soul.
Yeah. Oh, it's in Max in three parts. Okay. So three parts. There you go. But yeah, he, not a good person, man. He's not, you know,
he's a troubled soul
to say the very least. The whole thing about his mom, he lied about. She had cancer and died, but he never promised her the gold medal. That conversation never took place. He didn't even say goodbye to her from what he says.
Why would you lie? Why would you lie about something like that?
Because you're an idiot. Because you're a pathological liar. And you look at it, he's lied subsequently about everything else. Every relationship he's been in has failed because he's lied and cheated on these people and stuff like that. I mean, you know, that first relationship he had with that girl from Pac Blue or whatever, that Shanna girl, she was going to marry him. I mean, they were like almost engaged, and they told him that it would be better for him to date, because he wanted this music career, to date a Latin artist or somebody Latin, not a white person. It would be better if you dated a Latin person, you know? So that's how he hooked up with that Millie chick. And then, she found out about it on TV. You know, she was waiting for him at home, and he says, you know, I'm going to come back and everything's going to be brand new. And then she turns on the TV and sees him at the Latin Grammys with this chick, man. So yeah, man. He's not a good guy, man. Not a good guy at all. So, he would dedicate the fights at the end of the fights to like some of his kids and stuff like that. Oh, Jacob, it's your birthday. Happy birthday. That dude said, I've never even seen him. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't even coming around. He didn't even know him like that. You know what I mean? So like, wow. So yeah, man. Go watch it. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It'll let you know what kind of guy he is. It is. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on X at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me also on X at ringside73. And guys, we'll see you next week. I promise it's going to business. We'll pick up soon. I promise. It's coming, baby. It's coming. The business will pick up soon.